Thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world. Just a few days before this, the Lord Jesus had come in on a donkey. And we do know that the people were worshipping, and there were those who thought that the Saviour was going to set up an earthly kingdom in a military form. And they were joyful that at the thought that Israel again might be as great or even greater than it was in Solomon's day. Now that was not what the Lord Jesus came to do. For he informs them there at the end of verse 19 that he's going to die. It says, the beginning, of verse 19, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. These were not the words that they wanted to hear. He was going to, before that he was going to, and after that as well, he was going to reveal himself to his disciples. I did mention the end of verse 21. It says, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And really the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to his disciples here, I'm going soon. Won't be walking with you in the flesh for very much longer. But nonetheless, I will be with you, and paraphrasing words of course, I will be with you always, just as though I was with you in the flesh. And folks, this passage teaches us that the Lord Jesus does still reveal himself to his people. Now one day he will be revealed to all. And that's a day that we must all consider, especially you unsaved person. And we will have to answer to him. But as I said to you earlier on, it was with despair that you listened to people coming onto the radio to say how they'd done business with Beulah Print for a number of years. And I heard the man say the words, he says, and now they have targeted me. They did not target anyone. But rather, they did what, in my opinion and the opinion of many others, is they worked in accordance with their conscience. And because of that, I would not be surprised if they are dragged through and into and through a similar situation to which Asher's Bakery find themselves in. And folks, we maybe don't like to think about these things very much, but this is going to become more and more prevalent. It's the thin end of the wedge. And they'll all be jumping on the bandwagon. And they will seek to put Christianity. I know people come on, oh, we would not want in any way to restrict Christianity. Of course they do want to restrict you. And they would get you, if they could, to deny the very truth that you love. And that is a very dangerous situation, because X number of years down the line, when the little boys and girls here are big, what will it be like then? But we were encouraged on Friday night. The moderator did mention to us certain things. And one of those things that he mentioned was that the Lord can move suddenly. Very often the Lord moved suddenly. Remember the Bible where it was said, we never saw it in this fashion. That's because the Lord moved suddenly. And what he did was absolutely remarkable. One miracle after the other. And tremendous transformation. And the Lord moved really suddenly. And the Lord, in a spiritual sense, in salvation, can move suddenly in a country like ours and turn everything right around. All is not lost. We're not saying that it is. But what I'm saying is this. You and I, as we consider these things that we hear, and the word and the crows then, they're supporting very often that which goes against the Bible. And all in to get their pound of meat, as it were. But I want to give a title to this morning, but I'm going to say to you, it is a simple title, Favour in a Dark Day. Favour in a Dark Day. And that is what every Christian has and can experience more and more as an individual. And then if we experience it as individuals, we will experience it collectively as well. I want you to notice some very simple thoughts this morning, but we feel that it's worthwhile drawing your attention to this passage. I want you to notice here that the Christian has a distinct privilege. Now, when you hear people who are intellectual coming on and with big words, and yes, I've heard the Reverend McElveen on the other week with those men and them laughing and mocking and trying to play down prayer and saying, if you want to lose weight, you either follow the scientifically proved method of doing that, or else you pray. One of them will work. And then they laughed. And that is the kind of attitude that they try to have, or they try to promote towards praying. And others will say that prayer has no effect only on the mind of the one who offers it. And that is what the day and age that we're living in. But we want to say here, first of all, that the Christian has a distinct privilege. Look, please, in verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Do you see? There it is really singular there. If a man love me, he will keep my words. Now the Lord makes it clear that there are two groups of people. There are those who know the Lord and there are those who don't. But if you look in verse 22, it says, us. It says, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us? And the Lord's answer then is in verse 23. So the Lord only reveals himself to those who love him. And people will come on, I know, and I have heard them say this, and it is, again, something that would really cause despair in your heart. They will come on and say, oh, I'm a Christian, and God loves me, and I love God, and every bit as much as you do, and how can you say that being gay is against the Bible, or having a civil partnership is against the teaching of Scripture? How can you say that? Well, the Lord shows here very, very clearly that he will reveal himself to those who love him, to those who are him. Did you notice there the way the question begins? It begins, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? You have Peter and Philip and Thomas and Judas, and they begin with Lord. But do you remember the other Judas? He asked a question concerning the lady that poured the ointment upon the Lord. Why has so much been wasted? So much money's worth. It's very clear that he reveals himself. The Lord reveals himself to those who love him and obey him. Judas, although the other men didn't see it, there was a clue there at that time with the ointment that all was not well with him. And to move on here, just to simply say this, the Lord will manifest himself to those who love and obey him. And folks, we are in great need in these days for the Lord to come and to manifest himself in his Christian church among evangelical believers and to come to his people. It says there in John chapter 17, in verse 3, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And if you read on down in the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus, you will see there in verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word, referring to those who have been covenanted to Christ from all eternity. And in time, we pray that God will save his elect, and men make their calling and election sure. They come in repentance and faith to Christ. They take the sinner's place and they come to him. And so you need to notice here as well that after speaking with Judas and the others, the Lord Jesus Christ did go and pray to the Father. And I just want to say very briefly at this time that eternal life is not something that you get when you die. That's one thing that comes to this very clearly in this passage. It is not something that you simply get when you die, but eternal life, you get it at conversion. You become a new creature in Christ at conversion. And it can be enjoyed here. Every Christian has every reason to be joyful because of what the Lord has done for them, what the Lord has done in them, and what the Lord can do through them as well. The Shorter Catechism teaches that it is man's chief end to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And this is really an introductory point that I've made here, that the Christian has a distinct privilege. The Lord will manifest himself unto you, Christian. And the world that is mentioned in this verse 22, the world can shout and can cry out against the Bible all it likes. But this fact will never change, that the Lord will manifest himself to his people. He has a love for his people. And I asked you this morning, what group are you in? Because the Lord is a divider. There are those who are his and there are those who are not his. And very often we think of the thoughts, we live in a divided country, those who know the Lord and those who don't. We live in a divided county. We work here in a divided village. We have divided family circles. And maybe there's even a divided congregation this morning. Some who know him and some who do not know him. And I trust today that you're in that privileged group. I want to read what it says there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and it's verse 8. It says there in verse 8, this is regarding God's wrath. It says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a day that is approaching. It is a day when there will be no grace for those who have squandered their opportunities. So now is the time when, folks, you need to get right with God and to make your peace with him and trust him today as your Saviour. But if I can move on here really to my second point, I trust you can see now from the passage here that the Lord has a people who are a very privileged people, in that he will manifest himself unto us and not unto the world. The second thing I want to say really is this, that assistance is provided for every believer. Now, we're going to see that there if you look in verse 26 of the same chapter, chapter 14 in John's Gospel. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, the word comfort here in verse 26, the word comforter, is really what is called paraclete. Now, I'm not trying to be technical here, but I feel I must try and explain this to you. The Holy Ghost, that is. In verse 16, you see there in verse 16 of the chapter, it says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. The word here really means another of the same sort. So again, we can say, as we did just earlier on, that while Christ was not going to be with them in the flesh much longer, it's just as though he was. And he was going to manifest himself unto them. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. So now there's going to be that assistance, no doubt. Those who were gathered around the Lord at that time, they were anxious and worried and thinking, what are we going to do now? And here really, he says, you're not going to be on your own. There's going to be assistance for you. When you think of the word paraclete, which the word really here means, the Comforter, which the Holy Ghost, that is the word we're looking at here. Holy Ghost, Comforter, paraclete. Para means to come along parallel with something. If you went into a parking lot, into a car park, and there was a space there for a car to park, and then you pulled up along, you're really pulling up parallel with the car that is beside you. And really, the Word of God shows us here that Jesus was going away, but the Comforter was going to come along parallel with God's people. The word para, that's what it means, to come alongside. And the word cleat there is from the word kaleo, which means to call. It signifies that the Holy Spirit is called to our side as our helper. The Pope is not Christ's vicar on earth. He's nobody's vicar. But rather, this is the Holy Spirit here is our helper. This is the vicar of Christ on earth. And it's real. He is real. Coming along parallel, Christian, to help you, whatever the world says, whatever accusations the world makes, however the world seeks to play down your Christianity and to trample it in the gutter, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change this fact that the paraclete, draws alongside, parallel with you in your situation. And I have spoken to people even since last we were speaking to you, and in places of work and so on, in difficulty all the time. People being nasty. Now, not everyone, of course, but people being nasty and being mocking their Christianity. And even among, let's face it, among some loved ones, relatives, let's say, of all of us, don't we need him alongside to come along parallel and to comfort us and to be our helper? And supplying, he will be supplying to God's people what the Saviour was to his disciples during his earthly ministry. Remember what it meant in verse 16, the Comforter means another of the same. Another of the same. So I know that the world will say, well, where's your Jesus now? Well, you can say, well, he sent the Comforter and he walks with me and he talks with me. And the Comforter has come. And there is aid there for those who work with the Lord. Now, the word here that we're looking at here, where it means another of the same, it is actually a word that was used in a court of justice. And what do you think of when you think of a court of justice? Well, it denotes a legal assistance. A legal assistant. It actually carries a meaning. And this is really what we really, really need. A counsel of defence. So that's what the Holy Spirit is to God's people. He comes along parallel with the Christian to be our helper, to aid us as though we were in a court of justice and we're right out there in the world and they're passing judgment. I know that of a lot of it's not fair, but they pass it anyway on Christianity. And the thought here is of having a legal assistant. You know that certain words have a legal meaning in the Bible. Justification is a legal term, to be just at the judgment bar of God. Well, here's words that mean that we have a legal assistant, a counsel of defence, really an advocate. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have the person of the Holy Spirit when he said, I will send another of the same. One who pleads the cause of another. If you're brought into court for something that you did not do, and that does happen. People have been hanged in the wrong, and there are still people where there's great injustice, and I know that in some countries today it is common. They're just dragged in, even because they're Christian, and accusations are made, and there's no one there to fight their corner. No one to fight their corner. But the Christian is assured of this, that whatever the world does with him, and remember, and this is a very solemn thought, when they've killed the body, they can't do any more. This is not a light thing. It's a very serious thing. Very, very serious to take people's lives like that. But it is happening. It is happening today. And whenever they've done that, they can't do any more, because the Christian has a legal assistant regarding his standing in Christ, a counsel of defence to encourage his heart that he is right, and an advocate, one who pleads our cause before God the Father today. See what it says there, if you look please in verse 17, at the very beginning. It says there, even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive. Now, this is not an influence, it is a person. The person of the Holy Spirit. We know, we're being careful here, we know that sometimes people get very worked up in meetings, and you've heard people saying, oh, I went to such and such a meeting and I got it. You want to be really frightened then when you hear that, and really cautious. And I got it at the meeting. There used to be meetings like that over in the town that our church was in Bridlington, and people were going around, oh, I got it. And that means they could, I'm not going to go into it this morning, but all kinds of things, from running on the spot and jumping up and down and at the organ and barking like dogs and all of that thing. They had got it. That drags the name of God the Holy Spirit down into the gutter. This is a divine person. Look at verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. There's a Trinity in that verse, by the way. You have Christ praying the Father, and then you have the Comforter. The Trinity is there. And that we do believe in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Christian, I just want to say to you right now that
leaving aside what we've mentioned about the recent refusal to print these, I believe they're invitations for a civil partnership, something like that. Leaving that aside, in your own circumstances, maybe you do need the comforter. Maybe there's anxiety in your life for some reason or another. And maybe you're even cast down at this time. And you feel, well, Christian friends can do so much, but really, I feel all alone in this, as we do sometimes. Remember this. You have this legal assistant. A counsel of defence. One who is our advocate. One who draws alongside. And there's great lessons for us, brothers and sisters, even as we think of that today. The assistance here that is available for every Christian. It's a real person coming to people in real need. And when he comes and speaks to our hearts, he causes our mind to centre upon Christ. That's what God the Holy Spirit does. Because naturally your mind and mine will be on other things. I can remember coming to church and spending the entire time, now I wasn't saved at the time, the entire time, nearly every Sunday morning, thinking about fishing. And it wasn't funny. Because the word was being preached and my mind was not centered upon Christ at all. But it just shows us that the preacher can preach, the teacher in the Bible class or Sunday school can teach, but the Holy Spirit enlightens. He must enlighten men and women and boys and girls. And that's what it means in verse 22 here when it says manifest. So here's just a few thoughts regarding this assistance. I want to say, first of all, Christian, that when you're lonely, the Holy Spirit gives you the presence of God. Sometimes we have had occasion to speak to elderly believers, and I'm speaking here about some who, these ones who can't get out of the residential care that they're in. And in fairness, and it's not my business to intrude, but in fairness with some that I've seen over the years, they are far more lonely than they should be. They are far more lonely than they should be. But having said that, they're there, they are Christians, and they feel lonely. And in any other area of your life, maybe you're going through a stage in your life and there's something there that is causing you concern, and you feel lonely. Maybe you're carrying a burden and others are trying to share it with you, but you're feeling the heat of the day and you feel lonely. Well, the Holy Spirit assures you of the presence of God. Our thoughts and feelings are finite. We are limited in our ability to know that God is with us. But the promise is here. That is the promise that was given here by the Lord Jesus. I'm going away, he said, but I will send you another comforter. It's going to be the comforter of truth, and he will teach you all things. In other words, it's going to help you. His presence with you is going to help you. And one place it can help you is whenever we're feeling lonely. You've read about Paul before when he says, at his first call, no man stood with him. But then he said, the Lord stood by me. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And folks, we need that regularly to remember that the Lord has promised to be with us and to help us when we feel lonely. But the Lord being with us in this way gives us peace when we're very anxious. We live in an age of anxiety. Terrible anxieties and stresses, and probably in my lifetime, unparalleled numbers of people with depression. And if you look there in verse 27, please, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. How much energy and time and effort is put into trying to find something out there to give us peace. Something out there to content us and to give us this peace that seems to be eluding us, and we seem to be filled with that anxiety. And I know there are a number of parents here, and when you have children, you never seem to be anything only anxious. But there are other areas in life too where there can be great anxiety there, and we need to constantly be coming back to this peace. And I know that very often, even as Christians, and we do have peace with God and we want to know this peace,
of God, and we still have trouble, and we can still become depressed or distressed. And if that's where you are this morning, I'm not criticizing you in any way. Read about the Apostle Paul. How far down was he at times? He despaired even of life. Do you remember that? This is Paul we're talking about. But he was continually looking to the Lord and leaning upon him. And this one who draws alongside you, Christian, he can give you his presence when you're lonely, his peace when you're anxious. But whenever we feel weak, which we often do, he can show us the power of Christ. Maybe you'll turn, please, to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. It says there in verse 16 of Ephesians 3 that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now the Apostle Paul, as we just mentioned in there, he knows all about the weakness that is there naturally, but he knows about the weakness of the flesh. Didn't he say, the good I would I do not, and what I would not that I do? The battle going on there. And you and I, as Christians, we need not to fear to ask for strength. Don't fear to ask the Lord for strength. How often the Christian does feel limited and powerless, and maybe in a situation with your family, trying to witness to loved one, you're feeling generally unaccomplishing in your efforts. And that can get you down as well. But the outworking of God's purposes in us is the result of the Spirit's inworking. There's no other way. Look at Philippians chapter 4 there and the verse 19 in your own time. You and I need this divine strength. And could I take a moment just to ask you, I don't know the Asher people. And I don't know the people who own Beulah Print. But I would ask you to pray for them. And to pray that the Lord would give them this inner strength, because when the media is focused on you and their voice has been raised all around you, it's so easy to cower into the corner. And these people are real people who have families of their own and have sensitivities there of their own, and they're being lambasted. And it's not over yet in this country. It's going to get... We fear it's going to get worse and worse. But the Lord is able to come. Isn't that what it says there? To be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. It's not manning up, as we would say, and trying to put on an act of bravado. Here's something that's real. To be strengthened in the inner man by the Holy Spirit of God. That is favor in a dark world. And it's favor for every Christian gathered here this morning. Whenever we're weak, he shows us the power of Christ. Remember what it says over there in the book that we have been looking at, the book of Colossians. I'll just quickly look at verse 11 of chapter 1. You remember the verse, I'm sure. It says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, with all patience and long suffering, with joyfulness. The word strengthened there that we've looked at is a word that is in the present continuous tense. It's ongoing. Those dear people in Drogheda, they needed that strength when this first came out. And they need it today. And they need it tomorrow. And when Asher people are in court, and these other people perhaps are in court as well, they'll need it then. And who knows, you and I might need it too, before too long, if some people had their way. So whenever we're weak, we're shown the power of Christ. And whenever we feel neglected, the Spirit shows us what God has provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. Take time yourself, and again in the book of Ephesians, to read from chapter 3 there, in the verse 19 and 20. I'll read it quickly. It says, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. See that? It's according to the power that worketh in us, and he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Just look at this context. It is in the context of you and I being filled with the fullness of God.
Christian, God's able to do far more for us than we even imagine. And I do trust that every one of us, and I want to include in that the Ayrshire people and the people in Drogheda as well, that they will know this strengthening, that they will know that what God has provided for us whenever we feel neglected. We often feel so sorry for young people growing up and trying to make their way, and they have to go out and get a job and go their own way and make a life for themselves, as we so often say. But some of us that have been out there for a little bit longer, we do know a wee bit more. And as I said to my wife sometimes, she says to me, "Would you stop frowning at people?" I said, "I don't frown at people. My eyes are very light sensitive, and for that reason I seem to frown, but I don't frown at people." She says, "Will you look cross?" I says, "I'm not cross. I'm not frowning at anybody." And I said, "Anyway, I don't smile because I know too much." And that is said in jest, of course. Do you know what I mean, older Christian? You and I know that the world has nothing to offer. The world has nothing to offer. And when we feel neglected, and we think of young people doing their best to try to get on in life, and at the same time they're trying to go on with the Lord and to live for Him, and they're finding a conflict. Those who have no time for the Lord seem to do so much better so many times, and the young Christian can be felt neglected. And if I'm going to go anywhere, I have to throw my weight behind the world. No, you don't. True riches are found in Christ. True joy is found among God's people around His Word and Christian fellowship together. And here is the assistance, brethren and sisters, that is available to every Christian. I hope you know it and enjoy it continually. And when you're lonely, that you know the presence of God. When you're anxious, you know His peace. When you feel weak, you know the power of Christ. When you feel neglected, you'll remember all that He has provided for you. I have one final thought here. It is this. It is the importance of words. The importance of words. See what it says there in the passage we read together, verse 23. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." If you look there at verse 2, see where it says there, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." That's John chapter 14 and verse 2. Well, where it says there in verse 23, abode, is the same word that is rendered mansions. It's the same word that is rendered mansions. We will come and make our mansions with him. In other words, here's a guarantee of a very close communion with the Lord. But please do note what we read there. If a man love me, he will keep my words. He will keep my words. And while it is doctrinally true and sound to say that the Holy Spirit indwells every Christian, it is equally truthful to say that not every Christian is enjoying the ministry of the Paraclete as they could. How important is the Word of God to us? You're saved today, Christian, and the Holy Spirit wants to not only reveal Christ to you through the Word, but reveal Christ in you. And here is the secret. He will keep my words. He wants to reveal the promises of Christ to you. The Bible's full of them. Some of them the Lord will impress upon your heart and give to you. And as you would hear people saying, "I got the Lord gave me a promise, and I have promises in my life that I've been pleading now for nearly 28 years. Some of them haven't been fulfilled yet, but I still bring them to the Lord every day anyway." You've got promises. And the Lord remembers His Word, and His Word is unchanging. And I do trust that all of us will place even a new emphasis on the Word of God. We come and we listen to the Word, but obeying the Word is so important. Keeping my words. Do you see what it says? If a man love me, he will keep my words. The world wants you to grieve the Lord. That really is it. Wants you to grieve the Lord. I know that football is a very healthy sport, and I've been to Old Trafford to with Nicholas when he was 10, I think. We went over from the north of England across in train and had a guided tour around Old Trafford, and that was great and all that. And it's healthy sport, and many of you young fellas, and for all I know, maybe some girls, you like football and you're involved. But now there's this qualifier that's going to take place on a Sunday. And then, while we're all on for the sport and all of that, we're not on for playing it on a Sunday, you see. And whenever we do that kind of thing, I personally believe that we grieve the Lord. We grieve the Lord. We must love His Word. He's given us that one day to set aside for His name and for worship of Him and a day of rest. Do you remember Peter? And with this we're finished. Peter, when he wasn't very long saved, he was told to launch out into the deep and to throw out the net there. And he was encouraged and promised indeed that he would get a great catch of fish there. If you look in Luke's Gospel chapter 5 yourself and all the places, you can see that. But Peter thinks for a wee minute perhaps. You don't catch fish in the daytime from a boat. The boat fishing was done at night. And furthermore than that, in Galilee, you don't fish in the deep. You find the greatest numbers of fish in the shallow part of the water. But remember what Peter said. He said, nevertheless, at thy word, we will let down the net. And then we're back to Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. And Christians, sometimes we become very confused, but we must be like Peter. Where Peter weighed it up in his mind and thought, well, how are you going to catch fish in the daytime, and how are you going to get them out in the deep? It goes against logic. Going out in Christian outreach and putting yourself out to help the reach boys and girls with the gospel and having missions and giving yourself to that for a fortnight and all of that, as far as the world is concerned, you're a fool. When you should be out doing what you can for you and forgetting about all the rest of it. But the Christian is to go against human logic. Why? Well, there's what it says again. Wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world. The Christian that is following after the Lord will follow after Him, even if it seems to be totally against what the world believes and the world seeks to peddle. And I'm going to finish up with this just by saying there in verse 21 and verse 23 where it says the commandments and the words are the same thing. And if you look there again in chapter 13, you will see that there's a great teaching in the early verses regarding humility, and then in verse 34 regarding love. It's all tied in together. Christian, we need to love the Lord. We need to love His Word. We need to seek to walk with Him irrespective of the way that the world would have us to go. And it's important that, very, very important, that our boys and girls are taught that. Because they're coming under influence just by being anywhere. They're going to come under influences that will drag them in a different direction. But here is favour in a dark day. Walk with the Lord. Listen to His Word. Love His Word. Obey His Word. Call upon Him. Bring His promises before Him. And you will know favour in a dark day. May the Lord bless you, few thoughts to your hearts. Again, we did go over the time a little bit this morning. Do want to apologise for that. But we trusted what we said will be of help to you.